Y'all ready?
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 come on. Oh, yeah. Empowerment Saturday, African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin. And a crew coming to you live. We got Brother George, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa, and we got Captain Kirk in the house today talking about y'all need to get to walking. Stop all that talking. Strategies for changing our community by reducing gun violence. Oh, this brother got some ideas. Come on, tell somebody. It's family time. Oh, yeah. There's only one way to do this, and it's through better love. And brothers and sisters, there is no better love than for self-mankind. No greater love. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African American community by African Americans, with African Americans, and for African Americans. That's the only way we can do it, right? It's about working together, a collective work, right? We can't all do it by ourselves. We're not going to work in silos. In order to change the things that we need to change, we're going to have to work together. That means parents are going to have to work together. Family members are going to have to work together. Community members are going to have to work together. Individuals from different states are going to have to work together, right? For the African American cause, right? Because we got issues that we need to face, right? So how are we going to face them? Five tenets, pillars of the NAAEA. That's the National African American Empowerment Association. And what it does is it has, or has us to really look at how we can use our strategies, right, and the things that we do have to make things better for ourselves and the next generation. What are you talking about, Marv? Let me tell you. Politics. I'm spelling peace now. You have to have a political agenda wherever you are. That political agenda has to work for you and your family and your community right where you are. If you need to build a new school, you need to be political. If you need a community center, you need to be political. If you need a new road or a new sidewalk, you need to be political. Political spans out not just locally, but nationally and internationally. How do we use our political strength to navigate around the systems, but also to educate our people on how to navigate the systems, the political system, the legal system, how to navigate the law and the justice system and policing so that we stay clear of the strategies and the tactics that they use to continue to bind us. It's up to us now to do the work of being able to put ourselves in position to be successful. Couple that political agenda with an economic agenda, talking about money. Money management, right? Fiscal soundness, right? Being able to understand how the dollar works, understanding capitalism and understanding American economics so that we can, again, get the resources that we need to build schools, to build homes, to build communities, to build businesses. That is the way that we have to begin to think. We have to begin to think in terms of economic growth and development, right? We don't have to be capitalists, but we do have to understand capitalism in order to effectively navigate this system. Here is the A now. So let me piece again. P-E. Now A. Athletics. What are you talking about? Health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. You know, if you're listening, that African Americans or black people, Negroes, colors, whatever you want to call us, are leading the world in health disparities. That means that you have to make the adjustment to your diet, to your fitness, to your mental health, right, to the levels of stress that is produced in your life. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to be able to put yourself in a position to be healthy and well. What are your wellness strategies? Hey, A, how do you start your day, right? How do you reduce stress? Do you meditate? Do you walk? Do you work out? Do you push away from the tables? Are you getting away from the fried fast foods and all of those things that are really detrimental to our health and wellness? And then what are your mental health strategies? Are you taking care of your mind, right? Because you got to take care of your mind and your body. Those things work together. And then the C, relevant cultural programs that give us confidence, like this one, and educate us at the same time. Our young people, if they went through cultural programs, would be comfortable with who they are.
They wouldn't have to try to get in, to fit in, try to act like other people, right, and not be confident in how they look or how their hair is or what they're doing. We got to be confident and teach our young people to be confident in themselves. That's the work that needs to be done. And lastly is a comprehensive education that touches all those areas and more to be able to get us back to our rightful state in the world on this planet, right? And we can do that. The foundation and the blueprints are there. There's so many great programs out here. All I'm saying is exercise your right to become the best person that you can be, getting your community and your family and yourself intact, and then doing the work. It's the NAAEA. Join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. Slow down, Marvin. www.naaea.weebly.com. Go out to the website, check it out, become a member, and let's help us move ourselves forward. And now for the Stand Back in the Moment.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
You know, brothers and sisters, Brother Stan is right. We got to stop trying to get in and fit in. Be your original self. And then do the work of working on yourself to become the best person that you can be, and then teach and train your kids and your grandchildren and your family members, right? All the differences we can set aside for one agenda, and that's to work together as a community. We've been through a whole lot. We don't need to do it to ourselves now. So today we're going to talk about reducing gun violence with Captain Kirk. My brother is on deck today, but now, before we get started, we got to go with the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother, oh, Brother George. Where you at, Brother George? Oh, there he is. Come on, brother. Mm-hmm. Y'all know how I got to do this. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see you. Hey, mom. Hey, wife.
Bring it. What? We right here. We're not going anywhere. We right here.
George, you know we ain't going nowhere. What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, brother. How about yourself?
Man, I'm walking it and talking it. Brother Captain Kirk over here is saying we got to get to walking. We got to have some strategies before that. So give us the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. What you got for us today, brother?
Yes, sir. Well, I, too, believe it's going to be an interesting show today, and I can't wait, you know, to engage. Today, from the Nguza Saba, the Kwanzaa principle of the day is Kuumba, which is creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Kuumba, creativity, finding a new approach to something. Innovation requires independent thinking and the ability to apply information in a creative way, but for ourselves and allowing for our process of discovery, it becomes possible for us to conceive and create a new reality. Man, that's powerful. Today, I want to read from a book from one of the brothers that I highly respect, student minister, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he wrote this book. He wrote another book called Black Arabia, and I think he made an outstanding case that Islam was the black man's religion. But you have to read that book to to get it. But today I'm going to read from a book called Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood, and Black Masculinity. And like I said before, student minister, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. Kill the male and spare the female. Kill the male and spare the female is a draconian plot that Pharaoh hatched against the children of Israel to keep them from growing in strength and power. We know what kill the male looks like. It looks like Officer Darren Wilson gunning down Michael Brown while Brown is surrendering with his hands in the air. It looks like Officer Timothy Lohman rolling up on 12-year-old Tamir Rice while he was playing outside a 12-year-old boy with 12-year-old boys should do and immediately gun down with absolutely no provocation, and then the city blames the 12-year-old black boy for his own unprovoked murder. Wilson and Lohman undoubtedly represent the tip of the iceberg of the white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement that the FBI's 2006 unclassified investigation assessment report warned of. In particular, the report showed concern over the infiltration of law enforcement by so-called ghost skins, those who avoid overt displays of their beliefs in order to blend in while conversely advancing white supremacist causes. I'm sorry, it's covert. We thus know well what kill the black male looks like, at least one method of kill the black male. But what does spare the black female look like? It looks like Oklahoma City officer Daniel Holzclaw using the power of his badge to rape 13 vulnerable black women and girls. America is killing the black male and sparing the black female because the black male is seen by white supremacy as enemy combatant, and the black female is seen as the booty. And as the booty, they can have their way with her. We know that Daniel Holzclaw is just the tip of the iceberg. This is a very interesting writing that the brother took on. And I think that we have to, you know, really address those kind of issues and quit putting ourselves in position to be vulnerable to that, you know. But Brother Marvin, you know, can't wait for the rest of the show. So if there's no more questions for me or anything, then it's back to you, brother.
All right. You know you're going to get the empowerment question of the week. It's coming right up in just a second. Here's the question. All that you just read, right? How do we as black men, this is tailored to the brothers now, begin to protect ourselves and our women and our children?
Well, one, Amos Wilson said something about this. He said we have to get over our cowardice. Got to stop being cowards, man, you know, as far as protecting our women. And protecting our young men is really doing the job of being a black male adult. You know, we need to talk to our young men. We need to teach them who we are as a people. We need to give them a sense of self-value. by telling them who we are and what we have accomplished. And I think that if we do those things, that we'll be on our way to what we're looking for as a group of people in this country. So that's my response,
Brother George, great job. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's time for us to stand up. Brothers and sisters, black men, brothers, it's time to stand up. It's time to get up, and it's time to grow up. It's time for us to teach our next generation, train our men and women to become excellent at who they are, become the best that you can be. Develop your boys. Develop your girls. Put time into your children, into development, so that they can be prepared to navigate this world. Just that simple. We have to do the work, and we have to be gracious and humble and do the work creatively and collectively. The work is ours. It's ours. It's all ours. Time now, brothers, to stand up, date your woman, but to walk side by side, shoulder to shoulder. You help her, she help you. Those are two things that we're required to do as male and female. And that is the work that we need to do to co-parent our children, right? Children need two parents. They do. They need a male and a female. They need two parents. How about that? And they need parents that's going to guide them and train them and develop them to be great human beings. Again, great human beings. I'm trying to develop here at African American Empowerment. African American Empowerment Saturday is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Tell somebody about the show. 2779250 is the number, the call-in line. Come on, join us today. Also, we have Slido. Slido's in effect today. The number is 343-9416. Again, Slido.com, Slido.com, 343-9416. Call-in line, 845-277-9250. All right, we got Brother Kirk, Captain Kirk, in the house today. My brother, he's going to be talking about some things that we really need to get to. That is strategies to reduce gun violence in the black community. And here is the theme. He's saying stop all the talking and get to walking. Let me bring him in right. Brother, my brother, Captain Kirk, come on here. Oh, yeah.
My brother, my original brother, you are my brother, and I appreciate you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here today, and I got so much to give you today about this situation. I understood that a lot of people on this show usually do a little reading, so the internet or wherever they get the information from, and I'm also going to go along with that also. And I want to say another thing, Marvin, you, my brother. I want you to know this podcast and every other podcast to raise the black people up. Believe me, it don't go unnoticed. And you better believe that the government also usually knows what's going on with the podcast. And the government also spends a lot of money, a lot of tax money to hold you and other blacks accountable and hold you down, you know, because they don't want you to reach certain heights, all right? All right, now the first thing I'm going to speak on is the issue that is at my desk, and that is the gun violence. I know about this. I made flyers on this. I've been taking flyers around about the issue of people killing each other. I came up with a plan. Everything that you, any problem you want to solve, you need a plan. And it need to be a written plan. It don't need to be a prayer. I mean, you can pray, yeah. It don't need to be a prayer. It don't need to be a march. I mean, a march is good too. You know, it don't need to be a playground, because even a playground is just a place for little kids to go and play for somebody to come riding by and shoot up some people. So here's the deal right here. I understand a lot of people got a lot of programs to help kids, but are they helping the kids that are vulnerable to possess guns and shoot people? You know, I also know another thing about shooting people. If you kill enough people, it becomes habit, and then that's a whole different story. And you don't just kill black people, then you kill white people too, because it's in your DNA and you get a taste for it. So what I'm going to speak about is my plan. It's a 3-point plan to stop the killing and robbers and shooting by kids between the age of 13 and 19. And it needs to start in the school, because this is where we educate our kids. Kids learn anything and everything they need to know from school. They learn about sex. They learn about guns. They learn about drugs, everything in school. So the program needs to start in school, because that's where they educate themselves from. And it just gives kids, by starting school, it only gives kids the initiative to want to learn and want to be part of a situation that's doing something. The first point of the program is should be led by police. Now, police get a bad rap, and I understand that, because the job of the police is to uphold the law, do whatever they have to do to contain the law. And if you don't believe in the police, which is law, you believe in no law, because there's only two sides to a thing. There's a yin and there's a yang. There's an in and an out. There's up and a down. There's a left and a right. But they represent the law. You know, even though they do some shoddy stuff from time to time, all the time mostly, not going to say all the time, because some policemen are policemen because of their upbringing, because they have some certain things they want to prove, and a lot of times it's power. It's a power struggle. Okay, but I would like to see the police come in, and you got police in all the schools anyway. It ain't like you got to pay them no extra money, and they can come in and have a class and teach them law, gun safety. They can even mentor the kids, teach them discipline, and recruit them for the police. I understand they have a shortage of police right now, and they can't get real recruitment. This is another way to get people from the community to go into the police force and help solve some of these problems. That one class can also, bring in the military recruiters, which is they can teach gun safety, military recruitment, and mentoring. But the only thing about that is, this is the crazy part about it, you already got military in the schools. You ain't got to pay no extra money. You got the junior ROTC, and that's a government program. That's a program that the government initiates in high schools and some middle schools, you know. And so you ain't spend no money yet. You got the police. You got the military. All right. Now we're going to look at the hunt clubs. Hunt clubs will come in to speak sometime about being part of, teaching kids about being part of a group, what group values, mentoring, and also recruitment. They could also learn about guns. These type of issues with hunt clubs teach are taught to kids in suburban America all the time. You know, they ain't going out there killing people all the time. Only the people in the city. I mean, its living standards are a lot closer, and people don't have an outlet. Hunting clubs will give you an outlet, teach you how to hunt, teach you respect, and respect for life. All right? And all of this can come together in the schools where they can learn good sportsmanship. They can get to go on to the firing range. The JRTC been going to the firing range for over 30 years in the school, and relieve the kids of that power that power that you get when you first hold a gun. That's a lot of power in a gun. When you first hold a gun, it gives you the power. And that's been going on for years anyway. Kids as little as 2 and 3 been picking up sticks, and they've been pow, pow, pow at each other at birth. You know, I mean, from being little kids. And it's something that's in the DNA of a boy, you know. But once they get the understanding of the gun, of the bullets, of the meaning of possessing this power, they understand what to do and what not to do. What not to do in hunt clubs, 501c3s program, you ain't got to pay them nothing. You ain't got to pay them nothing. So the whole thing that I spoke of so far doesn't cost anything, no tax money, no tax money, no nothing. It's just a matter of bringing those people together to do that one thing. I went to the City Hall, and I was publicly passing these flyers out, trying to give them an idea of what a real plan is. And I don't care if they don't lose my plan, but you got to have a plan. You got to have a real plan, and a real plan starts with the school. All I've known for myself from being an inmate, that you could go to prison and get better, or you can go to prison and get worse. I know that a lot of the crime that hits the streets is learned in the prison. So as far as what environment that you're in, you'll learn. And education should start about not killing, not shooting. This program, a program that starts in the school can go across the nation. As a matter of fact, if any political person starts this program in the school, he is guaranteed to be a big man in politics, because he is going to solve a problem, a national problem. And I even notice now that some of the other countries are starting to pick up by shootings in different places, and they're getting that from us. We dictate the environment of the earth by what we do here in the United States. And if we don't gain control of it, it's going to be out of hand. It's going to be out of total control. So, yeah, we need to do that. We need to start a program. And my three-point program is a three-point program, and it starts in the school. But it shouldn't be the only program. Somebody can come up with a solution to a problem. People who grant money, they give money to people who can solve problems, you know. And nine times out of ten, those people have had somebody in their family who've been killed by guns or some type of violence, you know. And I think that's I'm going to stay on track with that, because I can go a long ways with this thing. This thing will take you all over in the prisons. It'll take you anywhere you need to go. I have a 501c3, and my 501c3 is From Rags to Riches. And it'll tell you a little bit something about me and what I do. And, you know, you can go on my website and see that. But the other thing is I do a lot of feeding to the homeless. I do a lot of feeding to the homeless. I used to feed homeless people on Jefferson Davis. They had encampment in the woods. I used to take them hot meals. I created a bread route. I was getting bread from stores and passing out to people who needed bread in different areas in the city. I've been accommodated by some of the people who ran the Richmond City Jail. I took books to the Richmond City Jail, and the year I took the books, they graduated the largest crowd they ever graduated for high school. I took heating and repair books to the jail, and I incorporate that. I get books from the library, and I donate them to places like that. And but the main reason I'm here is because of this Stop the Violence. If anybody want to ask me any questions right now, I'd be more than glad to answer some. I might have got a little ahead of myself, but anybody need to ask me any questions about the three-point plan to stop the killing in the city of Richmond? And I actually know about some of these crimes because, you know, I hit the streets at 11 years old myself, so I know what's out there. I know how it got there. I know how to reverse some of these problems because some of the people that I dealt with and spent time with created the problem. So if there's anything anybody wants to speak to me about, right now might be a good time.
Okay, Brother Kirk, let me ask you this, right? You said you know the streets,
yeah,
and you came in at around 11. So tell us about some of your experiences that you're comfortable with, and then those things that you learned, and then how you said you can turn it around. What are some of the ways that you could do that?
Well, some of the things that I can turn around is I can turn this program around. I can turn the killing around with this program right here because it's going to enlighten kids to want to. More or less, like I said, JRTC been shooting guns for years. If you get kids in this program, it's like a class that kids will sign up for. You ain't got to put this program in every school. You can put it in your worst school, and I guarantee you money, you'll see your crime go down in that area. And if that is the case, I would initiate it in every school. Some of the things I've known is I've seen drugs, I've seen guns, I've seen murders. I've seen a lot of murders. Just like any other black kid that lives in the hood, I remember seeing one guy who got his brain blown out over in Highland Park, and I tried to comfort his family. They tried to drag him home. I had to hold the family down so that they don't drag this guy all the way home. I mean, his brains was on the ground. You know, what can they do? They're gonna drag him home. They're gonna mess up the crime scene. But it just so happened. Oh, and that's another thing I want to speak of. Because I also have a friend who was involved in a lot of stuff. And he created a big thing about himself in the street. He created a big thing about himself in the street. And people respected him. People were fearful of him. People were afraid of him. And he actually went to jail for murder. And he is supposed to be waiting on a death penalty. He's been waiting on a death penalty for some years now. But he don't know what he created in the street that his kids and grandkids got to live down. He created this big thing about himself where people respected him and people were fearful of him, but he didn't know that his little sons and his little grandkids had to be out here and had to uphold that big thing that he left out of here, which actually got one of his grandkids killed. You know, okay, we know who his grandfather was, and he was a big guy in the city, made a lot of money, probably killed some people. And to take his grandson's life is like a strike. So I'm pretty sure whoever killed his grandson, I mean, they preyed on the fact that his grandfather was a big man in Richmond, and it made him bigger, the boy who killed him, you know, made him even bigger. I was talking to a lady one time, And we was talking, and her son stroked my shirt and looked. I looked down at him, and he said, "Know what?" He said, "When I get grown, I'm going to kill the man that killed my daddy." You know, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of young boys, now, that's something that you say around other kids your age, and you other kids hear it, and other kids that have been affected by it, that's going to be their main momentum for living, is to kill the man that killed their dad. And I'm pretty sure a lot of them killed men because of that factor, you know? I know I have been involved in many, many drugs. People OD, people killed over drugs. I've been exposed to a lot of murderers. I mean, big murderers in this city, big murderers. I will not call no names or nothing because I don't want to be involved like that. But I've been involved with knowing these people, and that's what they did, you know. But I would say that the only way is to reverse this thing would be to educate, because we suffer from lack of knowledge, you know.
True.
Even the Bible says that. We suffer from lack of knowledge. The only way I can see that this program or a program like this will not be initiated in the school is because it's political. You see what I'm saying? It's because the people who are doing the killing and killing were motivated by a political source. And 9 times out of 10 has got to do with votes, you know? They can go to different places in politics by maneuvering around these type of things. You know, maneuvering around.
Unpack that for me. What are you saying? You're talking about politics now.
Right. I'm saying that a lot of the guns on the street came from politicians. That's what I'm saying. That's where it came from. If you can't reach a certain place in a city, in a state, on a vote, you drop guns there. You allow people to kill themselves. You make them look bad, and then you claim to the people, we can stop this. We're going to fix this, you know, and you gain people behind you to vote for you. And that's how the game works. It's a game. It's a system. And that's how it works. And you just got to understand that. And you know what? It really ain't. I don't really see it as a black and white thing at that point. Because in the obstacle in front of you, you go around it. You know, I hear the white man, you know. The white man wants you to think he obstacle. He puts it in so many people's minds that I can't get around them because they white. The white man won't allow me to do it. But you know what? As long as he thinks like that, he's satisfied because you ain't going to do no more anyway. What you going to do? You going to complain about the white man holding you back. But actually, he just implanted that in your head to make you think that you can't go forward. You can do anything you want to do. You can go around them. You can go over them. You know, I was contemplating something the other day about they still got things on applications and stuff, what color you are, you know, but they still don't discriminate. They claim they don't discriminate. But you know what? I put white. You know why I put white? Not because I'm white. I put white because white is a lifestyle. You can't discriminate against me. You can keep me away from this job because I put white on the application. If you can do that, I'm going to sue. I want some money because you can't discriminate me for being black and putting white. Because then you made it known that discrimination is still legal. Yep. Putting white is just to show the lifestyle. If I put white on there, it's because I want that lifestyle that the white people live. You know? And then you got black. And then they say other than Hispanic, which means they categorized you already. They categorized you white, black, and Hispanic. So Hispanic's on the bottom. So, you know, you got to understand, if you don't discriminate no more, why? Why we still have to have these things on these papers, you know? So I don't want to get too much into that because my main thing is stopping the killing. Now, something else I want to...
That was deep. So let me ask you this real quick. You said your theme is stop the talking and get to walking. What do you mean by that?
Okay.
And what really spurred you to go after that?
Yeah, everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants to validate their opinion on what we need to do to get this thing back in place, you know? And as black people, they come back into power or to have some power, really. But the thing I see is everybody's got an opinion. And, you know, I hear so many people speaking about what we need to do and how we need to do it. And I won't stress at all that those things are not right. They are all right. You don't solve a problem with just one answer. You solve problems with hundreds of answers, and you put them all together, and you create something. Talking, what I mean is I look at Socrates and Aristotle. They were prolific speakers, and the stuff they spoke on didn't mean nothing. It was just that they could speak well. Even Martin Luther King, he spoke well, very well. But the other thing about that is too much talking. I feel like we need to use our hands and mold something. Even if you don't know what to do, you can do something. You don't even have to be able to figure it out. By the time you get it started, you better believe you got enough people in it that's going to say, okay, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. And those things are coming to place. But nobody has come to movement. Nobody has come to movement. You got all kinds of you got all kinds of podcasts and all this kind of stuff where people getting on there and speaking about different things. I'm sick of hearing it. I am really sick of hearing all these things that you can do. We should be doing something with our mouth closed, you know, because I learned a long time ago, loose lips sink ships. You know, if you keep talking about what we need to do and how we need to do it, and then you got people on there that's working against you, they know, okay, we can't allow this to happen, we can't allow that to happen because they told us everything that they need to do and they're going to do it. You know, we need to start moving. You know, I'm more of a clay person. You put the clay in front of me, I'll mold it. I ain't going to open my mouth not one time. And then I'm gonna create something that's going to be good. Then you come to me and tell me, we need this. We need that, and we can all put it together in that. So I have been many times on the corner, just stand on the corner by myself with signs trying to get a message to people, you know.
Wow.
And anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. I hate the fact that, you know, I used to belong to the NRA, and the NRA got a bum rap for being able to put guns. They've been, by the government said that they didn't put guns in the street. They might have. The NRA might know who bought the guns or where it came from, but I don't believe they put the guns in the street. I used to belong to an organization called Soldier of Fortune also, and the government discontinued them. I need to see people do some movement. Nobody's done anything. You know, I'm just a me by myself, and I don't want to stand up and be a Martin Luther King. I don't want to be a Martin Luther King. I want to be a Picasso. That's what I want to be. I want to be a Picasso.
All right.
I want to be a silent person that put it in paint or put it on his easel. You know, that's what I want to be, because I want to do it and not talk about it. I don't want to be the person that's saying, "And we need this." And another thing too, I also want to say, I want to say congratulations to all the grandmothers who raised these kids for their kids, because they put in work.
True.
But I also like to say something to the grandfathers. What the hell y'all been? What y'all doing? You got grandsons that's dead. You got great grandsons that dead. But had you initiated some type of symposium where those kids will have something to do with their time or their mind, you got a lot of ideas on how to solve these problems, but you ain't even solved the problems in your own home. Grandfathers supposed to take over for daddies when they gone. If you can tell what a man is supposed to be doing and a man supposed to be doing that and a man supposed to be doing this, what have you done to put in your grandkids' face to direct them away from that stuff? When have you started a business and teach them how to do business? Where is your vocalizing to these kids on what they need to do? The grandmother stood up. The mothers always fall in place. They always fall in place. And the men, that's why I'm saying, I'm tired of hearing everybody talk about how to do this and how, but what have you done for your own? What have you done for the kids next door? What have you done for your nephews to deter them away from these type of things? And the older guys don't even talk to the younger ones like they used to no more. They used to say, "Boy, you know you're going to do this. You know what's going to happen to you." They don't even do that no more. They're so concerned with themselves and their own cars and homes and their own lives. I like the fact Martin Luther King died for what he believed in. You know that? Jesus died for what he believed in. And if I got something I believe in so adamantly, I want to die from it. Do you know what I'm saying? I hate to think that Taliban, they believe in something so bad that they're going to kill a whole lot of Americans, but you know, when you believe, you believe, you know? I also happen to know that because of the American way, a lot of religious men in the Eastern countries pray daily, all day long, on the downfall of America. And you might hear somebody say, "Oh, we killed so-and-so. He was responsible for something, bombing and so some other place." They killed him because he's in prayer all the time, every day, downfall of the Western world. You know, I can't see. We need to be praying also. I understand we need to be praying, but we need to be fixing our problems, and we don't need to be politicalizing them so that some candidate can win his election, you know? Yeah.
True.
But this is the way. If whoever the person is, the political man who initiates this program, he's going to be a big man. A big man, I'm telling you. A big man, because this is something that will not just instantly happen. It's going to be one of those things that somebody going to call the phone and say, "No, sit down on that one. Sit down on that one. Don't touch that one." Because of what it's going to achieve and the votes that it's going to deter, you know? And and like I say, well, the NRA, they'll get a bad rep, you know, because just like cigarettes got a bad rep, they shut them all down, they closed them all up. Just like pharmaceutical companies, they got penalized for what they did. But you know what? The NRA is there for all of us. We all have a right to carry a gun. Even Even at this point in time, even felons carry guns now. They can get their permits to have guns. Felons can get them now. And I advise all felons to get that permit, because if you ever have to shoot somebody without a permit, there is no recourse. No, there's no recourse, because almost everybody's got a gun from 12 to 21. And a gun is nothing to get.
Wow.
My son had a gun. Oh, man, my son had a gun. And my wife found it. And I took him down to the river. I told him to throw it in the river. And it wasn't a week before he had another one. And he shot a man. And they killed him. They killed him. When they got him, they killed him. So I can't really say, you know, anybody, and that's been, oh, my God, that's been over 20 years, you know. So all of that time, man, people been getting guns, you know, drugs. Man, the government operates on percentages. If a thing goes down below a certain percentage, they leave it alone, like drugs. And they trying to blame the Latinos for bringing all the drugs in, which I'm sure they bringing some in. They bring a lot in. But you got to look at the Asians and the Russians, too. They bring in a lot, too. But you don't hear them. As long as they keep it down a certain amount, it won't be heard. Yeah, but the thing about it is, I've seen a lot. I've been in gangs. I've been affiliated with some really high people in some high places. I've been affiliated with some mob, and I was asked a couple of times because my word was good, my name was good. I was offered to come to Philadelphia, and I turned them down. And I was offered to go to Miami, and I turned them down. I was offered by some Asians to do some work long time ago, but I turned them down because I had a family. I didn't mind doing all that stuff, and I didn't mind, but I wouldn't do it with a family, because I wouldn't want anybody to hurt my family. You can hurt me, do whatever you want to do. I ain't got no problem with it, but as long as I have a family, I try to protect them. So I never did it. I mean, it would have got me a lot of money, and I would have been a lot of places. But I decided not to. I actually had a lot of power when I went to prison. They rolled the red carpet out for me. I was catering to inmates. I was writing to them, teaching them how to do resumes and how to get into programs when they get out. I was corresponding with them. And when I correspond with them, I get them some idea about what happened to me when I was in prison. When I was in prison, they rolled the red carpet out, and I didn't even know that I had that much clout. But they gave me everything I needed. And when I got there, I had a lot of money. And I had some power, but I didn't realize that I had that much clout because they was giving it to me. So I also tell the people when I write them in as inmates and let them know who I was in the prison. And I happened to get stopped by the wardens in the prison. I wasn't able to. I was sending them books. I was sending them information. I was helping them out. But my initial letter to them was about what I did in prison. And I guess they thought that I was teaching them the wrong stuff. So they stopped denying me to send inmates information through the mail anymore. So that ended. But I had a couple of people and I had a couple of files that I was trying to teach them how to get themselves together. I really wanted to teach them about computer. The computer has so many flaws in it. It has so many flaws in the computer where you can, if you got the worst mess written about you on the internet, you can clean it up so fast and make you look like the best person. And it's good for when you have to go up for parole. And that's what I was teaching them.
Wow.
They stopped me. They stopped me. They investigated me for a long time. I don't know if they still investigating me or not, but the feds did investigate me. This was recently, man. This was like within the last year and a half, 2 years, you know. So I'm not able to send any letters in the prison system at all now. They come straight back, you know. Even though those guys need help, it was for their you know, to help them get themselves together. And I made a mess of that one. You know, I could have kept that to myself, but I don't know why I told them, you know. I just told them so they could trust me more, you know. But
right.
I didn't tell them so they could take over to prison, you know. But, yeah, and so I do have the qualifications to explain how to solve this problem because I've been out there. I learned from out there, you know. I would hit the streets at 11. I got molested at 8, and it took away my innocence. And upon that, I met, I was initiated into a group of people who was cold-blooded killers. And I even asked God, why did I have to go through that and meet those people? And he was telling me, because of the job that I got to do when I leave this nest, this human flesh. So I won't get into that right now because I'm writing a book right now. I haven't got anybody to edit it. Matter of fact, if anybody who's the editor, give me a call. Hit me up and send me some information. I need to get my book edited. I need to get it published. And it's nothing like you've ever seen. Yeah. So.
All right.
So I have this qualification to that. I saw all of this happening. I saw all of this happen. The gun thing. I saw it happen, and I saw how it was created. And if you want to, if you created a Frankenstein, you know how to take Frankenstein apart. I mean, I heard the Richmond mayor say one time, we're going to get some people in here who are going to stop this thing, and they might be the most unsavoriest of people. That's what he said. But they didn't allow him to do that. But I applied for that. But, you know, I've done a lot of other stuff in this city. I've only been to prison one time. I've never been, I had a lot of charges coming up, But I never only been in prison at one time. I had to get affiliated. As far as I was saying about people get the walking, I remember I was in New York one time. I was on Broadway, and this minister, he was up on his soapbox, and he was preaching and hollering, come to the Lord, come to the Lord. And I was saying how confident this man is, how much power from God he must have, you know. And at that time, three boys came and snatched him and threw him on the ground, started stomping him. And I'm saying, this guy's a minister. I've never seen anybody get, that's a minister, get tossed like that. And they said, take that thing from around here. That ain't us. We don't like that stuff. Get from around here. And see, that goes to show you right there. When you come up with something good, and he was on his own, he went out on his own. I will go with anybody. I don't care what your group is, what your organization is. If you need help and it helps people, allow me to help you also. And I give that out to everybody. I will go out and help anybody. I'll go out on my own. I've been passing these flyers out for the last 2 months now, and I'm gonna continue to. I took them up City Hall and gave them. I need to take one up to Richmond Public School to the superintendent. I need to put one in his hand. I need to put one in his hand. If you know him, tell him I got something for him. I put one in just about. I went to Reba Trimmel's function, and I passed it out to
What does the flyer say?
The flyer says kids learn from each other. It says a three-point plan to stop the killing, robbers, and shooting by kids between the age of 13 and 19. And it tells of the different things that the police, the military, the hunt clubs, the student, how it affects the student and makes them a better person. And it also states about how it helps the police force, how it helps the military, and how it helps the community to solve crimes. But I went to Reba Trimmel's function she had, and she was catering to her people, and I saw every policeman in there that had badges and ribbons, and I passed it to all of them, and they seemed to be interested in it because they was all reading it. But I had to get out there because if I'd have stayed and she'd seen I was there, she'd have been highly pissed and would have put me out of there anyway. So that's what I did, you know, because I want
all right.
it to be seen. I want it to be known that we need a plan. We need it in writing. And I'm pretty sure if I can come up with a plan, 100 other people ought to come up with plans too. And we need to flood these people to see these plans so that we can get into the mix. I'll do this, but I know that when I do this, it's not going to be liked. It's not going to be liked by the people
right.
I bring in on it. I know it's not going to be.
Well, you got the plan. You got the plan,
yep,
brother.
I got the plan.
You just presented it
plan.
To the people. It's the three-point
yep.
plan. You are listening
yep.
live to Brother Kirk, African American Empowerment, 845-277-9250. We're going to go to
yep.
the lines in just a minute, brother. But let me go to Slido. Slido.com. The number today is 343-9416. So let me go to Slido and see what they're saying over there. And let's see what
That's
they
good.
Got for you, Brother Kirk. Here we go. Great idea, brother. Can we really trust the police? What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is sure you can trust them. You know, the only reason we can't trust them because it's an either-or system. It means the either-or system is either is good or bad. If you don't trust the police, you know what it is? You like crime. It's two sides to a let me tell you something about an atom. When an atom splits, it splits in two parts, and one is good and one is bad. If you don't think that the police can be good catalysts to help, their whole job is to serve, is to protect and serve. If you don't believe they can, or we can weed out the ones that don't. We can definitely weed out the ones that don't, but we can definitely use the ones that will, you know. So, yes, we can trust the police. Believe me, we can trust them. If you can't trust them, you need to look over to your left. If you're looking at them and they on the right, you need to look over to the left and say, if somebody rapes my niece or my daughter or kills my son, who can I go to when I don't have answers? You can go to the police. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you have to know that they will, but you have to know that you can trust them for a minute. Anybody deserves some type of trust, you know, until they ruin that trust that you have. A lot of policemen, and know what, you can't categorize every policeman by one event, two events,
True.
Three events. You know what, that's just like they do us now. All blacks do this. But you know what? All blacks don't eat chicken and watermelon. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Somebody,
That's true.
Somebody has got to be trusted. You can trust them. You can trust the, you don't give them more power than they need. You can trust the police. You can trust the military. And you can trust the hunt club. And we really need the military because when we got kids that get into something so deep and we need to get them out of. At one time, when they used to go to court, the judges say, you either go to the military or you go to jail. And they go straight to the military, but they come out better person. 20 True. Years a better person with backgrounds, able to do things. See, and that's the thing right there, man. You have to also don't think because one event, two event, maybe 100 events justify every policeman. Don't believe that. No. Yeah, we can trust the police.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to the lines. 845-277-9250. We're talking about strategies for reducing gun violence with Brother Kirk. He has a 3-point plan that he's describing for us. If you missed it, go back and look in the archives on this one. All right. 252-5347. 5347, you're live. You have a question or comment for Brother Kirk. Welcome to the show.
Listen, brother. I'm just wondering, we just had all these 1-year-old kids got killed, you know, they, so I'm just listening for you guys as results and answers. Have a blessing, bro.
I didn't understand.
Hold on a second,
that,
Brother Reg. What did you say? What did you say happened?
I said we had a 1-year-old kid, man, that shot at the other brother. He had his 1-year-old daughter in the car. So I'm just listening for you guys as a solution and answer, because I'm going to bring it to the community to work with the police department and helping to do whatever we got to do in the community. So I'm listening to all you guys.
That's right.
Solutions and
that's
answers.
Right.
I heard brother say that's right.
Yeah.
Is that right,
yeah,
man?
Thank you, Brother Ridge.
I want them to participate in the program and using their funds that they get to work with us in our programming, but I want us to shape the narrative. So if I'm on the right track, man, you guys discuss that with me. I'm listening.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. You need help in your program?
I want them to use their dollars that they get in their funds to do social programming in our community. But I want us to shape the narrative.
Yeah, we have to shape the narrative. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Brother Reg. Thanks for listening. Hang in there, brother. We'll be praying for your people. All right. Let's go back to Slido, right? And the next thing is, I like your idea. Teach, train, and develop. The next one is teaching children, especially the inner city children, about the proper use of weapons is a great idea. So they liking your ideas, brother. Utilizing hunt clubs is a great idea. All right, somebody liking your ideas, brother. All right, teaching children how to manage power at a young age is a great idea. Man. All right, education is the way to stop crime and violence. The world is following us, and we have to step up. What do you think about those things, Brother Kirk? So you got a lot of people confident in your idea about educating and teaching kids.
Yeah, I would like to tell you this, see. It's a good plan. Believe me. It's a plan. It's a good plan. And know what? I contemplate it. I'm a very analytical person. I analyze everything. There's nothing that I don't analyze. I analyze it from the top to the bottom, left to the right. And I went through this plan, and I thought about the people and the amount of people who wanted this thing to work and how it should work. And I knew that by initiating it like this, it's a good plan. And the only thing that will stop it from happening is politics. That's the only thing that will stop it from happening. Politics.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Brother Red said it right. Brother Red said we can get on board with their money. We just got to direct the narrative. So
yeah.
I think you're onto something there. Great idea. Let's get it implemented and activated, right? They got resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got issues. Let's bring the resources and the issues together, and let's get something going. All right, let's go back to Slido. Slido is full today, Brother Kirk. All right, let's see. The world is following us. We have to step up. What do you think about that? As African-Americans, black people, they come out of enslavement.
Most definitely. Look. The worst thing about slavery, that I think is, they set everybody free. And you know why? Because they didn't know how to live. They didn't know what to do. They wasted their lives because they didn't know, they didn't have any initiative on what to do or how to do it. And it, it set us back a long ways then. But you know what, like the, what was the black, city that we had, that all the power and all that, that, that would have, that initiated because some people knew what to do, but the other people had no idea what to do. I mean, slavery was slavery. It was bad, you know. I mean, you know, we've been slaves millions of times, you know, in life, you know, not just here in the United States. We've been slaves in Africa, man. We were slaves when we got on the boats. We were slaves. Other black men took us and made us slaves and sold us, you know. But the whole thing about that is when they was free, they didn't know how to live free, you know. Nobody could read on how to be free, how to do this, how to do that. You know, nobody knew what to do. They went straight to child sharecropping, the only thing they knew, you know. And I one thing that I really do, that I'm really adamant about, and that's speaking with God, you know. And I want to tell you, back in the day of Adam and Eve, back in the day of Adam and Eve, they claim it was only four people living, Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. But God spoke to them, I mean, without a doubt spoke to them, like we're talking right now on this podcast. And know what? That was 100% of the people. That was 100% of the people at that time. Why is it that 100% of the people could talk to God then, but it ain't 100% now? You know? So that lets me know that any real answer I need, I'm going straight to God, man. Yeah, and he's going to tell me what I need to do. I really didn't want to do this podcast because I'm so done with people speaking and speaking and speaking on those things. If I could, what I really can do is I could get a plate and I can initiate some mothers and some fathers bringing their kids and we learn about gun safety. Even, and you know what? And I'm going to tell you why I know this is real. Because when you a felon and you commit a crime and you get out of jail and you get your gun rights back, you got to go to a class and learn gun safety before you can get your rights back. Now, if they want to educate you before they give you a gun, why not educate the kids in school? It's all about education, man. And the only way that something like this wouldn't work is because it was politicized. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. We here.
Hello? Oh, okay.
All right.
Everybody was going.
All right. We just, with you, brother. Yeah. All the way.
Yeah, I forgot to cut the lights out.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go back to Slido for a minute. The next Slido is, great idea, brother. How can I get on board with this?
One way to get on board with this,
with your three-point plan.
One way to get on board with this is to give me a holler. And my number is 804-306-5266. You can give me your name. I have a 501c3. And we can start a plan any day. We can start a plan any day, a program any day, and raise this thing up from the ground. You know, nobody sees what goes down near the dirt until it gets up to about chest high. And then the government can see it. But you know what? If we pull this thing up from the dirt, eventually they'll grab hold of it and say, oh, we want a part of that. We want to do that. It's a good thing going on in the community. And you just call me and we'll talk. I'll get your name. We'll come together. We create something. I'm good at creating. I want to form anything. I'd rather form it than speak about it, okay? All right. That's it.
That makes sense. All right, next Slido, what is your website address?
My website address is www.wewillsucceed.com.
www.wewillsucceed.com, 804-306-5266, Brother Kurt.
Yeah, my email doesn't work on it, but that is it right there.
All right. All right. So the next slide is, Brother, you're really doing great things, and knowledge is power. So we'll take a break on Slido and then go back to the lines. Let's go on over to 9116. 9116. You're on your live. Do you have a comment, a statement from Brother Kirk?
Hey, I just want to say, Brother Kirk is, she sounds like he's talking straight from my mind. She sounds like he, we are on one accord, Brother Kirk. I really like what you're saying. I always been a man of action. So,
believe me, we are on board. And like I was saying, we don't have to have a big plan. We don't have to speak on it. All we got to do is get in there and mold the putty, man. You know what I'm saying? Me and you can get together, and you know what will happen? We'll mold the putty.
Can you repeat your phone number? Was it 306-5622?
No, it's 804-306-5066.
5066.
Yep.
I'm definitely about that action, Brother Kirk.
Well, we're going to do it, man. That's two. That's two. So we got three people now.
All right, let's mold the putty.
And I just
want to mold the putty.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm saving this number now. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Any thoughts on the 3-point plan?
Sounds like a brilliant plan. I agree with it, actually. So I just want to say yes.
You're not afraid of the projects, are you?
Man, I'm in the projects every week, cutting hair. That's my way of staying connected with guys.
I got family
in the project.
There you go.
No, sir.
Well, we got three people though so far.
Yes, I'm connected to the project right now with people that what you say, what the word you use, unsavory, what they would look at as unsavory people.
unsavory. Yeah, I've been out there, man. I've been out there.
So, but you'll be surprised at how many are looking for something like this. How many are looking for some guidance?
Well, that's all we need. That's all we need. Some people who think like this. You ain't got to say a word. All you got to do is come in. That's all you got to do is come in. And we'll figure it out as we go.
Exactly. I like how you think, brother. I just want to salute you and tell you to keep on going. And we'll sweep up the ones that's like us and keep moving.
And keep moving, man. Right. Keep moving. There you go. There you go.
All right. All right.
Oh my God.
Sweeping and moving. Molding the clay. I like that. Thank you, brother, for calling. All right. Let's go back to Slido. For some of our people, the only power they possess is a gun or their fist. For our people, the only power they possess is a gun or their fist. What do you think about that, Brother Kirk?
That's because that's another thing. Think too lowly of yourself. You don't think high enough of yourself. You know, you have to move. Look, let me tell you something I know for a fact. Here you go. I'm going to give you something right now that's going to mess you up. E equals MC squared. That's the basics of physics, which means that's energy, man. That's energy broke down in its rawest form, right? We are energy, man. We are energy. And we have power, man. You know, so if you think on a lower form, like, and you don't realize how much power, real power you have, you eliminate a lot of stuff from yourself by using the physical mantra. But you know what? Use your mind. Your mind is gonna pay you back more. You know what I'm saying? using their physical fighting and shooting. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I hate to say this, okay, but I'm going to say this. I was with a group called Soldier of Fortune. And for anybody who don't know what Soldier of Fortune is, Soldier of Fortune is a magazine that acquired a lot of professional hitmen. And people needed a hitman. They would go to the magazine and recruit. Government recruited them too. But most of those people now, they closed that thing down. And most of them work contract for the government, right? But the guys that go out there now with guns, they just shooting and killing, man. When I really learned about that stuff, they had a class called 101 Ways to Kill a Man. And a gun wasn't nowhere in it. So to allow the people that's killing to know, no, there's a lot of other ways to kill a man other than you got a gun or a gun or a knife, you're going to jail. But you don't know how to make a man have a heart attack. You don't know how to make him have a stroke. You don't know how to make them have any other diseases, but you know how to pull the trigger on the gun. So what I'm saying about that is a lot of people got a way they think it's all that's the easiest thing to do, you know. That's a lower form of humanity, you know. That's a lower form of humanity. When you rise up to a high level of human being, you learn, you get a little bit more understanding that everything ain't physical, and that's where that comes from, Marvin. I don't want to get too far in that thing, though.
Wow. All right, let's keep it moving. Getting close to the wrapping up, but brother, this has been a great show, right? It's African American empowerment. It's our people educating our people, right? So you got it real raw, real deep, and real real. Brother's been real the entire time, so let's keep understanding how we got to work together, right? So, you know, some people say you got to go down to get down, and it's going to be all kind of people working together to get things done. We need them all right now. All right, let's go back to Slido. How will you get buy-in from the kids in the community to give up guns?
Excuse me?
How would you get them to buy into giving up the guns?
It's not a buy-in. That is one secret. That is one secret that I will not speak about on this thing. That's one secret that I will not speak about on this thing. Because, you know, if remember what I said, loose lips sink ships. I'm not going to tell
right.
that because it's going to destroy the whole plan.
All right. So if you want to know the plan and get to know the brother, call 804-306-5066 and go out to his website, www.wewillsucceed.com, and you can get it right there. His brother Kirk right here live.
I'm sorry, Marvin. That's .org. That's .org. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
.org. Let
.org.
Me do it again.
.org.
www.wewillsucceed.org, right? And I'll let you do it again before you wrap it up. All right.
Yes.
Great point about our men. Done. You asked the question earlier, so I think this is what they're alluding to, that our men, our older men, haven't done a lot, right? We can't beat our people up, but it's true, right? So what would you say would be the steps that our older men need to take in order to get back into alignment?
The steps that the older men need to do are to get initiated in creating something for your loved ones. Keep them busy, y'all. Put them in a start a business, man. Start a business and put them in and teach them how to work. Start a grass cutting business, man, and put them out there and make them so they can learn, understand how to make money legitimately. You know, mentor. Mentor the kids, and mentor ain't just sit there and give them a speech once or twice a week. Mentor is taking them and spending time with them, and that's what they need to do. They need to do that. Yeah. It's never too late. You ain't
right.
dead. You still got breath in your body. You can still do it.
That's true. Man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're listening live to Brother Kirk's African-American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of this right here for our people. This is a good education, right? Knowledge is power. All right, last slide for today. It's true, brother. Guns and selfishness, along with greed, killing our communities. Is that true? What you think?
I think
today.
It is.
Thanks, Slido.
Yeah, well, what I said is before, it started out being political, you know. It started out being political. It might have was political in the beginning. And what they usually do is they do it for a while, then they drop it. So it's probably been dropped as far as the guns that came into the community to do the to serve the purpose of political purpose, you know. They don't hold on to them too long. When they do little things like the drugs and the guns, you know, and put them into our community, they don't stay with them long. They just need a voice for a minute, you know, that they can speak on or some reason to speak on something, and they go on to the next thing, you know. So, it destroyed our community, but we have to know I hate to say it, but we as black people, we are so vulnerable, man. We don't stop and think that, hey, if somebody that's trying to create something right now to hurt me right now, you know, they don't never stop to think about, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this. But you got people that's listening to every word you say, and they working against you every minute of the day trying to keep your stuff from happening. That's why I don't like to talk about stuff, because the more you talk, loose lips sink ships.
Right, brother. Loose lips sink ships. Thank you, Brother Kirk.
Yeah,
final comments from you. We got to wrap it up. Final comments.
The final comment is all the people who I spoke to today, if you like what you heard, I don't care who you are. You could be man, woman, child. If you want to do something about the situation right now, you got somebody in your family who got killed and you want to work this thing and make it right, just give me a call and we're going to find a place, we're going to meet, and we're going to talk about this thing. We're going to put this thing together. We're going to put it together. We ain't going to just talk about it. We're going to put it together. And all the people that's with it going to be with it, and them people that ain't with it, you know, we're going to just keep on stepping. All right? My telephone number, if you want to get in touch with me, is 804-306-5266. And my website is www.wewillsucceed.org. And you can't leave a message on that website because my email is not working on it. But you can still call me and we can talk about the situation. We create a date and we'll meet. And I invite the feds. Y'all come on too. Okay, so that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at, Brother Marvin. Marvin is my real brother too, y'all. Y'all know it or not.
That's right. Hey, give us that number again. Is it 5066 or 5266?
804-306-5266. 5266. I done gave you all the wrong number. 5266.
Well, we got it straight now. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Right.
We appreciate you. Great job. And now... before we wrap up, final comments from Brother George. Great job, Brother Kirk. Appreciate that. Brother George, final comments.
Yes, sir. I'm speechless, you know. I mean, the brother has really laid it out. And it is the kind of thing that we need to be doing. You know, it's not so much talking and more action. But there are people that you can work with, Kirk, that's out there. And we just need to tie ourselves together, because when you got a good plan, it's like you said, it could be people with 100 other plans, and we need to put them together, you know. And so I just would like for you to keep that in mind, because you got an excellent plan, and I definitely think it will work, you know. So thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Well, I'd like to say one thing to you. If you see any of those people, hello? If you see any of those people that got
30
if
seconds.
You see some of those,
go ahead.
Oh, if you see those people that got any money, make sure you send them to me.
Yes, sir.
That's it for this week. Thank you, Brother George.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Kirk. And always remember, become the best person you can be, Don't tell everything because loose lips, ships, don't get your ship sink.
Yep.
Peace and blessings. Till next week, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Peace. Okay.
Oh, yeah.